Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out what it's like being an innkeeper in the tiny town of Cornucopia. It's normally off-season this time of year, but with the Lake Superior ice caves just steps away, the town is booming. That's coming up in about 10 minutes.
First, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin introduced legislation this afternoon aimed at protecting employees who've been harassed by their supervisors at work. The bill comes as a response to a recent Supreme Court case, which Baldwin says redefined the term supervisor and made it a lot harder to pursue harassment cases. And she joins us now to talk about how she hopes her bill will remedy that situation.
Senator Baldwin, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Your legislation comes in response, you say, to a 2013 Supreme Court decision. That case was Vance versus Ball State University. What happened in that case? What was the outcome you're trying to address?
Well, in that case, the Supreme Court really redefined what a supervisor is in the case of employment harassment. They said a supervisor is only a supervisor if they have hiring and firing authority. But in the Vance case, Ms. Vance was supervised by somebody who was engaging in harassment. That person had a lot of control over her daily work life, assigned shifts, hours of work, decided who coworkers would be. And I feel strongly that Supreme Court decision was wrongly decided, and it deprived a lot of folks who are harassed the tools that they need to really fight their cases in court. You know, everyone should be able to work hard, play by the rules, and get ahead, but unfortunately, harassment still persists in the workforce, and workers need the tools in order to fight back.
So just to make sure I have this straight, if someone's harassed by a boss, but that boss doesn't have hiring and firing power over them, under this Supreme Court ruling, they can't sue? They don't have standing to sue for sexual harassment?
Well, the employer doesn't have the same sort of liability. Hmm. What happens is the belief is, and I very understandably, that when an employer promotes somebody into a supervisory position where they have a lot of control over those who work under them, that there's a trust, they've given them authority and power, and so the employer takes some responsibility for those decisions, and therefore they take some liability if they put somebody into that position of power and authority and trust who abuses it and abuses their workers under their watch.
So this legislation that you're coming out with today, how would that address this?
Well, it would restore any person who exercises significant control over a person's day-to-day work, they would become understood as supervisors once again. And I want to say once again because this is how the discrimination and harassment laws of this country have been interpreted for many years. In my opinion, the Vance case was a real departure from many years of interpretation at the administrative level and in many courts across this country. And I think this restores a sensible understanding of what the word supervisor means.
I think we usually think of harassment as a personal issue that affects the person who's been targeted by it. You're also, though, making the case that we should think of harassment as an economic issue. Why is that?
Well, you know, ideally we love our work and we go to work and enjoy what we do, but that's not a guarantee of any sort. But people shouldn't have to withstand racial or sexual taunting while they're at the workplace. Beyond taunting, you know, the conditions of work ought to be such so that the person can really get their job done. And so I think we do need to stand against harassment, bullying, and that type of discrimination in the workplace.
A lot of people might look at this and say, hey, haven't we made a lot of progress? Isn't this less prevalent than it used to be? Maybe watching, you know, a Mad Men episode where harassment was commonplace, a daily occurrence. Do we need this kind of focus in the legislature, in the courts?
You know, I wish that it had disappeared as an issue. Unfortunately, it still persists. Widely in our society, which is why it's important that individuals who are subject to workplace harassment have adequate legal tools to fight for redress. You know, sometimes these cases are the way in which we reduce the level of harassment that exists, just like the fight for equal pay in the workforce was a fight that started in the courts, and then the legislature followed with the Lilly Ledbetter Equal Pay Act. I find this a very similar course of action. Some of these things started in the court, went up to the Supreme Court, and now we have an opportunity for Congress to set us right on the right track with regard to fighting workplace harassment.
You released the bill. You're releasing the bill today. What kind of response are you getting from fellow lawmakers?
Well, I'm very encouraged. The chairman of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee is one of my co-sponsors. Senator Harkin of Iowa is joining in this effort. We have a wide array of national organizations that are legal advocates who have fought harassment and discrimination in the workforce as it presents in various forms, who have endorsed the legislation. And we have a companion bill that is being introduced into the House of Representatives by the ranking Democrat on the Education and Labor Committee. So strong support from the committees in which this bill will be debated first.
There's a common story these days. Something passes in the Senate, the House won't pass it. Something passes in the House, the Senate won't pass it. Are you going to be able to muster up enough Republican support in the House to have this law have a possibility of being reality and not just a symbolic act?
Well, what I'd say is in the Senate, we need to have bipartisan support in order to pass legislation. As you know, we have a requirement to pass legislation of having 60 votes, which means in the current configuration that at least 5 Republicans have to join in this effort. And then, you know, once you've passed something through the Senate, it, you know, you have a bill that's received bipartisan review and support. I hope that ups our chances of getting consideration in the House of Representatives. You know, and I can think of other pieces of legislation that have passed this session through the Senate later to get support from a House that maybe didn't initiate the review of the legislation, but understands that it enjoys strong support both in the public as well as in the Senate.
Can you leave us with some thoughts on what's at stake here?
Well, again, you know, this is about our workplace experience. Think of how many hours most of us spend engaged in our professions, in our careers. And everyone should have the right to work hard and, as I say, play by the rules and hopefully get ahead. It's the American dream. In those instances where the ugliness of harassment, workplace discrimination, presents itself, a worker deserves the basic tools to stand up and say this must come to an end and to send the message to others who might harass that it's not acceptable.
Senator Baldwin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. She joined us to talk about the Fair Employment Protection Act, a bill which she introduced to Congress today.